challenging time for our country. The elections, is the election really over? We're wondering as we look at what's been going on. And I think it's done, but there's people out there that are saying something else. I'm not going to discount those voices necessarily, but it's a difficult time right now. So we should pray for our country. Does anybody have anything that they'd like for prayer? I think I'd like to just take a time of prayer. I'm going to ask maybe if Doug could begin and then I'll close. Is there anything that you just think we need to pray about or a special request? I know we only meet once a week and not everybody can come to Wednesday. So if there's anything for prayer, we need to pray for our community. We need to pray for the COVID response during Thanksgiving, that God would be lifted up and that he would use this time to bring people together. I think that's one of the things I was thinking about. Anything else that you just comes to your mind? And, you know, we don't, again, we don't have, sometimes we forget about prayer, you know. So, but it's such an important part of our relationship with Jesus, speaking to the Lord, bringing the petitions that we have to the Lord. Anything that anybody would like to mention?
Our government, of course.
Yeah, let's pray for the president-elect, the president, the transition, all of that stuff. We should pray for those things, yeah. Anybody else?
Keep praying for Caleb.
Yeah. Let's pray for my son, Caleb, his constant struggles. It was a good week for him. He has this pouch that he has to change sometimes 4 and 5 times a day. One lasted about 36 hours, which is like almost a record. So though that's it seems like a small thing, but it's big for him. So just gives him a little more independence that he doesn't normally have. So that's a blessing. And then, so he's had good pouch day, week, I guess you might say. So, anybody, anything else specifically that you'd like us to pray for?
Maybe it's exam week also for all the college students.
Yeah, college students in Arizona are done this week. So at NAU, Esther and Jeanette all have exams. So pray for them, if you would, as they finish those up. We should pray for, like Alex, I was just saying that he needs prayer. They have a baby and Elena coming. So let's pray for that couple and all the things that go on with that. So I think that would be a good thing for prayer as well. And I think financial situation for many because of COVID, it's difficult, jobs and things. I think that's a good thing to pray for our community and our country.
It's
possible. I don't know for sure if they're at home. Yeah, so. Yeah, and Andy and Nirel too, yeah. They're teaching at the same school, so let's pray for them too, their situation, so. Anything else? Okay. Doug, could you pray for us on some of these issues, whatever comes to your mind, and then I'll close.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we've come before our God, who understands our concerns. We know, Father, that we can bring all our situations to you. You know the government, you know the COVID viruses that are affecting families and schools and governments and everything, Lord. But yet nothing is out of your plan, nothing is out of your will. And so we're grateful that we have you to lean upon, to look over us, to watch over us, to care for us as the only way that our God can. And again, Father, you know this was happening all around the world. We know in a sense the latter times are here, Lord, but yet we want to raise up the family. Let us be able to proclaim the gospel to those, to our neighbor, to our friends, their schools, whatever, Father, whoever we can come in contact with, so that they will understand and know that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And it's also going to be an eternity that's going to be there if unfortunately they have to die, Lord. So may we continue to pray and ask for guidance through the Holy Spirit in all situations. We give you praise in your name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I'd like to continue in prayer. I pray for Caleb and his physical situation. I pray for our church family. Pray for the young kids that are going to school and the situations with the virus that are making it difficult. Pray for the ones that are online and trying to do virtual. I pray you'd give them what they need in order to make that successful so that they don't fall behind. Heavenly Father, I pray for Andy and Alex as they teach in Phoenix in this little school, this charter school. I pray you take care of them, keep them safe. We pray for their wives. Just lift them up, Lord. I pray that in everything they would exalt you and honor you. And I pray for the baby that's coming as well, Lord. Just take care of Elena. I think of our boys, our music kids that are helping. Take care of them, Lord. Pray that they'd feel better. Take care of them, Lord. Lift them up. And I just pray protect the vulnerable ones during this COVID-19 situation. I pray that the supposed vaccine would come and that you would be glorified by that. And we could glorify you by getting what we need to do to protect our families and to protect those vulnerable ones. Lord, we pray that you would intervene. Lord, we believe that you're a sovereign God. That's one of the differences between someone who is not a Christian, that doesn't know Jesus. And Lord, we lift you up because we know you're a sovereign God, that you are in charge of things, that you are. And we can walk with that in place and know that. Sometimes you send us difficulties. Sometimes there are difficulties in our nation. But we know that you are the one who changes things. And so we ask you to work. Do your perfect will in all of these things. And Lord, thank you for this time together that we've had in prayer. Sometimes we forget about it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I was talking with a friend of mine, mentioning that at the Lutheran Church, some of their music folks have COVID, and we should pray for them. I was just saying we should pray for them. I was talking to my colleague who was chatting with him about some of these issues, and he was just saying, I really appreciate it, because he was saying, you know, I don't understand for a Christian the fear that people have, the fear and the you know, again, you understand it, but he was just saying, I don't understand it because I know God's in control. I know He's the sovereign God. And so that's a wonderful comfort. It really is. No matter what happens, the difficulties, you know, like the Armenian this week, the Armenians lost the war to Azerbaijan. It's really sad. They've lost territory. And there's no way they can win because they're fighting against the Turks. It's really, really sad. So sad that happened, because they're being persecuted now. And some of them are moving, you know, there's a big removal of hundreds of thousands of people now from the disputed territory into Armenia. And it's very difficult for them. But God is on the throne, yes. And that is such a blessing to know, even when tragedy it hits us. That's one of the great blessings of knowing Jesus. It really is. So I just wanted to say that as we look ahead, we should walk with a different, like a light in our step, a lighter step, knowing Jesus. So I need the... all right, thank you. Okay, today we're continuing in John, and we're in John chapter 3 today. If you will turn in your Bibles, if you have yours, or if you'd like to follow along on the overhead, I'll have some notes and I'll have most of the scriptures that I'll be reading today. It's John chapter 3, and the title of the message is a very familiar message. I don't know if you remember, most of you here probably remember this. John, when Jimmy Carter became president, and they would talk to Jimmy Carter and say, Jimmy Carter, like, you're a Christian, you're a Baptist, and what about this born-again thing? And then he would talk about being born again, and he made it kind of popular to speak of that phrase, because it is such a kind of a bizarre picture of being in Christ, isn't it? It just is. Born again. What? And it comes from the book of John, chapter 3, and this really, really interesting encounter of a man named Nicodemus with Jesus, who was a very interesting character in the Bible. I think it's probably likely we'll meet him in heaven someday, Nicodemus. And I base that on, well, in John 3, he comes to Jesus. We don't know. You don't see his reaction. Jesus tells him, this is how you can be a part of the kingdom of God. This is how you can be born again. And Nicodemus doesn't really say, yes, Lord, thank you. I pray and I want Jesus. I want to be born again. That doesn't happen. But later, at the resurrection, at the death of Christ, he is one of the ones who takes the body of Jesus. And so, as we read about this man, you think, well, he's a seeker, he's an inquirer. And as we witness, as we try to tell people about the one, Jesus, who allows us this born-again experience, you never know what's going to happen with them. Later on down the line, I believe Nicodemus must have bowed his head and trusted Christ. Because he's one of the ones who helps take the body and prepare it for the tomb. So most likely, someone who knows the Savior is probably going to do something like that. I think we're going to see him in heaven. So as we read, that's something to consider. So in John chapter 3, we read, and I'm going to just read straight from the scripture. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And so, here is this man, Nicodemus. Let's take a look at him. Nicodemus, number one, was a Pharisee. We read about him in verse 1. He was a Pharisee. And so we use that word today as I guess it would be an adjective, right? Pharisaical attitude. That man is Pharisaical. And why do we do that? Because of the Pharisees in the Bible who were legalists, who were, we need to follow the law for salvation. We need to follow the law. We need to follow the law to the very, every single thing. And they were very into memorizing things and praying like while they were walking and doing all of these religious things to get closer to God. But in the New Testament, it's a different relationship, isn't it? Jesus came. The Old Testament was there for people to know Jehovah, to know who God is. But it was a looking forward to Jesus as well in the Old Testament. Looking forward to the Messiah who would come, who would fulfill all of those sacrifices that they did to show their devotion because they loved God. They did it with a good heart. And we read in Hebrews 11 that their faith was like our faith. We read that. So the Pharisees, that they were that were left over of that. It was also known that Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. I took this from one of the Bible dictionaries that I used, which is the ruling body of the Jews. Each city could have a Sanhedrin, which functioned as the lower court. So not only was this religious Pharisee, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a city councilman, you might say. Under Roman the Jewish nation was allowed a measure of self-rule, and the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem was the final court of appeals for matters regarding Jewish law and religion. This was the body that ultimately condemned Jesus, yet they had to get Pilate to approve their sentence, since the death penalty was beyond their jurisdiction under Roman law. He was a part of that. It might have even been likely, I don't think he was, but he could have been a part of the group that took Jesus and arrested him and sent him to the Romans for execution. That's the part of the people that he hung around with. It's the people that he was around. This is the one who comes to Jesus and asks him these amazing questions. And they're not really, it starts off, they're not really questions, and we'll get to that. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. But it's interesting also that he came by night, so he wanted to ask some things that he knew was not popular amongst his own people. You know, it's really hard. You know, people, Christians in high school, the young people that are Christians, a lot of times I won't even know about it. And I don't blame them because I was much like that when I was in high school. I wasn't out there proclaiming, hey, I'm a Jesus follower. Hey, knock it up. Don't cuss. I'm a Jesus follower. Don't do that in front of me. Yeah, high school kids don't do that. And I don't know that they should necessarily, but maybe they should. Maybe they can get convicted and it's a way they can be a witness for Jesus. You know, with my colleagues, excuse the language, Craig, and then here goes the cuss word. They always excuse because they know I'm a Christian. Always excuse, and then they say something, and they're like, okay, whatever. I should step up and say, hey, don't do it then. I don't know. But it wasn't popular for him to come out in the daylight, just walk up to Jesus in the market. He's talking to people. There's Pharisees hanging around, kind of watching what's going on. That's not when he approached Jesus. He did it by night. It was a secret meeting. It was a secret meeting. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher. Come from God. No one can do, and that's what he asked him. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. What an amazing, it's not a question, but it's a statement that he, with a questioning kind of attitude to it. He came by night. He calls Jesus a rabbi and a teacher. That shows respect for the Lord. That shows a respect for the Lord. He has a respect for what God, but who this Jesus is. So he's seen him do the miracles. And he says, I cannot figure this out. I cannot figure the message that's coming from the words of Jesus, even though it goes against everything I know. So he comes at night and he says, Lord, Rabbi, Teacher. So he already has this respect. Definitely terms of honor and respect. And the first statement he comes, it is a question made with a statement. No one can do the stuff you do. This is my translation, by the way. Not my translation, but my paraphrase. No one can do the stuff you do unless you are come from God. Now that's the way I would have said it. How is this stuff happening? The words you say are dynamic. The miracles that are happening before my very eyes, you're giving life, you're raising people from the dead, you're casting out demons. Nicodemus is just like, I can't get over this. I know. And here he is, a follower of God. He's a Pharisee. He knows all the law. At least we think he does. Later on, Jesus says, wait a minute. And so, in verse 3, no man can do these miracles. That's what it says in the King James. Thou doest. So he actually mentions miracles. Unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we see this phrase, born again. The born again statement is stated. That's how he answers the question. How do you do all these things? And the Lord, knowing you're wanting to know about me, like you want me to talk about me. In the back of his mind, you know that Nicodemus is going, this is God. Now, he also knew the Lord your God is one God. He knew the Old Testament passages that said there's only one God. So it's not like Jesus was this other God that maybe I need to change my worship to. Nicodemus knew that, I feel, in the way this is presented. So Jesus said, I'm not going to sit here and talk. You know I'm God. You know, I think in the back of his mind, he says, Nicodemus, you know I'm God already. And he comes to him and he says, hey, your real problem? You need to be born again like Jimmy Carter. I say that because I don't know about Jimmy Carter. Because today I've heard him talk about, oh, there's many, many ways to heaven now. And he is not following the one way gospel of Jesus Christ like I think he did when he was younger. Sadly. But back then in 76, he was saying that. He was telling people there's only one way to Jesus is you have to be born again. Born again, it's such an interesting phrase. I love it because, and I love the conversation here. Nicodemus said to me, how can a man be born when he is old? He asked the obvious question. If someone comes up to you and you say, I'm born again, they're going, what's wrong with you, man? It's like a Saturday Night Live sketch. You can just see it. What are you talking about, dumb Christian? You know, I don't. You Christians, what's wrong with you? You're crazy. And you can see some person being born again. You know what I'm saying. And that's how he answers. How can a man be born when he is old? What in the world is going on here? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Really, it is. It's like he's joking, almost like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense on the literal landscape. Jesus was a master at using words to get his point across. This is not literal in the physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense, it is literal. I don't know if I can say that. Born again. In Christ. New life. New hope, as we were talking about before. COVID should not kill our joy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let it kill your joy. You're born again. The gospel has transformed you, or should have transformed you. You should feel that. In some sense. You know? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, he mentions born of water and the Spirit. Now, water is a physical, yeah, you got to be born, you got to be a real person. But he says, and the Spirit. So it's a spiritual regeneration that happens when we come to Jesus. It's born again. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, as it says in 2 Corinthians. And we are transformed by the new life in Christ. It is glorious. I'm getting probably too excited here. But yeah, it's glorious. It's born again. And he says he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, to me, this is a reference that Jesus is the only way. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you come through Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
And it's difficult these days. And it's really difficult for me. Folks that I've taught all my life, Jesus is the only way, and they're saying, no, I don't believe that anymore. They're letting the world affect them. You know, like, but it is the gospel of Jesus. Jesus is the only way. There's no other way. Truth. The truth is you must be born again. If you come to Jesus, you have to be born again. And again, this is a figurative term. There is flesh in verse 6 and 7. Let's read those. Verse 6 and 7. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it willeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, but canst not tell from where it cometh and where it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Let's look at... Now I'm looking... Yeah. This is from the English Standard Version. I like to use both because I want to make sure good meaning happens here. But born again, it is the truth of the gospel. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound. And when you read that verse, it's kind of an interesting verse that kind of plops in there. He says, look, when you hear the wind and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from. You know those nights in Bullhead City where the wind gets up. We have this weird vent thing in our attic. And when the wind blows, it starts smacking really, knock, knock, knock. And it just like smacks around. You know, Sarah, you know that sound? It's in our bedroom, of course. And I probably should go up there and figure out why it's doing. There's probably some way to fix it. You guys know, sometimes it feels like your walls are going to fall down. You're going to feel like, you know, the foolish man built his house in the wind. And the wind bring the walls down. Sometimes I feel like that's going to happen. It's so strong. But where does it come from? Well, I can give you some ideas. I can give you the geology. I love geology. I love the concept and the laws that God has placed here. I love the way precipitation happens. Heating over the oceans causes the rain. And the elevation causes all sorts of differences in our world. And God made that so we'd have this beautiful, amazing, interesting, varied world. It's fantastic. I love that. So I can tell you why. We have this very deep valley that causes wind. But we don't really know when it comes. We can't really predict it. You know, the weatherman says, yeah, it's going to be windy. And I'm going to say 4 weeks down the line, you have a week of wind. He doesn't know that. He studies the charts, and sometimes he's right, sometimes they're wrong. Oh, we're going to have 2 feet of snow. It's no snow, sorry. Are you going to have 2 inches of rain in Bullhead? No, it's 0.005 inches of rain. You know those. It's very difficult. So what he's trying to get at here, when he says the wind blows where it wishes, you hear it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What he's saying is, it's a supernatural transformation when the Spirit allows you to be born again. But it's a natural law. Okay? Natural law. You guys have heard me talk, so here I am again. John Locke, the great British kind of political philosopher who has inspired all the American framers of the Constitution. He talked about natural law and the natural rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he was a man who believed in God, and he believed that God gave you those rights. It's like this. So does everyone who's someone who's born of the Spirit is born again. And the wind blows where it wishes. We don't really know, but the wind comes. Bullet City, there's going to be wind. If you're born again, you're born again into Jesus. And it's there. It's real. It's true. It's a truth. And you can't deny it, that Jesus transformed us and we are born again. And just as the wind happens at Bullhead every year, it's always going to happen. Don't ever think it's going to go away. It's going to keep happening. When we're born again, we're in Christ, and they can't be lost. It's a natural law that when we come to Jesus, we're transformed and we're born again into Christ. It's an amazing thing. It's like the wind. It's a natural law. Born again, it's an unchanging truth. Some various incomplete or incorrect gospel truths on eternal life, that all you need to do is good works. And just do things for Christ, and that's all you need to do. No, you need to believe that Jesus died and that He put His righteousness on us if we believe in Him. More good than somebody said, well, just do more good than bad. Don't worry about God. Just live a good life. That's not the Bible. And I know, you come around and you meet people, you meet friends. And they're like, yeah, I'm doing a lot of good things. And we talk about how great it is to have good people around us. And, but without Jesus, there's no eternal life. You're not born again without Christ and the born again experience that it's talking about here. Or some people just have faith in whatever it is. Whatever it is, if you are just zealous about your belief system, then you're okay. That's not the Bible. It goes against everything about the Bible. Jesus came and He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Those are verses that are so strong about this salvation experience that happens when we trust Christ for our righteousness. We trust His work on the cross. It's not difficult. I mean, it's difficult for some to do it because they have to bow their knee and they have to give up like things that maybe they think. But this is God's Word. This is the Bible. It doesn't matter what type of denomination you come from. That's what a Christian is. You know, my friend, the Lutheran, he's got to trust Jesus. We have to trust Jesus. We have to be born again is what he's talking about here. So it's not just have faith in whatever. Nicodemus asks again. Now, Nicodemus is still struggling. God's telling him that Jesus is telling him about this. And look in verse 9 and read from the King James. When the ruler, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Still not totally figuring it out yet. That's where he's left here. So we don't know what happens with Nicodemus till the end. And I think when he takes the body of Jesus off the cross, you're going, yeah, this guy is a believer that Jesus is the only way. How can these things be? Ladies and gentlemen, the transforming message of the gospel is glorious and fantastic. There's no greater truth in this world. Then you must be born again. That's the gospel. It's the gospel. He still can't believe it. Are you the teacher of Israel? And then Jesus goes on, Jesus answered in verse 10, and said, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? He's going, wait a minute, Nicodemus, you know. And that's the thing about the Pharisees. They knew the Old Testament scripture, but they weren't getting the right understanding of what really was going on. And that was the difficulty here. Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand? You know that there's a Messiah to come. You know that the Messiah is going to be of the tribe of Judah. You know he's going to be the son of David. You know this. And this is who Jesus is. Have you done your research? Have you checked the right website? Have you looked at the genealogy? Have you seen him and his transforming power? Have you heard his words? Do you see how they match up with the message of the Old Testament? And they hadn't. They missed it somehow. And he goes, Nicodemus, you know. You know who would come. And I guess Nicodemus got it. When Jesus went to the cross, think of Isaiah. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but we did esteem him stricken. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon the iniquity of us all. Maybe he got it. You know, maybe he got a hold of those Old Testament scriptures about the sacrifice. When Jesus went to the cross, man, he was right there. Hey, I'm here to help. I could care less about my Pharisaical Sanhedrin background. I'm coming. I'm going to be a part of Christ. This is an amazing story here. Love this. One of my favorites in all of the Bible. Jesus wondered why the Messiah missed out on the message of the Messiah. Verse 10, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. And that's just what I was just saying. The reference to the cross and the sacrifice must always accompany the gospel message. And we hear this in verse 13 and 14. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. This is Jesus. And this shows his connection with Holy Jehovah God, the one God. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now a reference that this is what I came for. I came to die, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. And that sums it all up. Eternal life comes through being born again. What do we do? And I've been talking about this already. No, you are born again. If you're in Christ, you are born again. That is a phrase that you should feel comfortable with. It's a great phrase to share with people because then they'll go, what? You say, well, I'm saved by God. I am on my way to heaven. I have eternal life. You can say that to people and they might ask you questions. But say, I'm born again in Jesus. And they'll go, what is that? Tell me about that. How do you, they'll be like Nicodemus, right? How does a grown man be born again? How does that happen? And then you say, let me tell you about that amazing word picture. Let me show it to you. What a great way to share. Share the born again gospel. It is Jesus that offers all that is needed. I'm going to share that again. It's, you know, this is not, you can't plug in Muhammad here. Doesn't work. You can't plug in the 5 million gods of Hinduism. Doesn't work. It's a whole different understanding about who God is, this personal God, this one Jesus who came. There's nothing like it. I don't understand why people are turning away from this. I don't understand it. Well, they're nice. Nice person. They must be okay. No, they need Jesus. People need Christ. They may not know it, but they do. There's truths that don't change. And being born again is one of them. And that's my challenge for you today. Heavenly Father, thankful for the Word of God, which is so great. It gives us direction. It gives us a spring. That's the word. Spring in our step. Because we know we're going to heaven. And that we know that God is sovereign. And that I don't care what COVID does. You know, we need to be responsible, amazing human beings, and community members. I really believe in that. But at the same time, we can have that spring in our step. We don't have to be fearful because we know you're in control. May we have a great balance of those two things. That people would see that. You know, there's a Christian. Yeah, and you know, they really care about community. And when they're around me, they're really concerned about me. At the same time, they have this cheerfulness that's amazing because they have heaven to look forward to. And they know that God is in control. These are things that are hard to maintain because of the trials and the difficulties that come our way sometimes. But having you on the throne is a great thing that will never change, a truth that never changes. I'm so thankful for being born again. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.